Great. Thank you for the call. I appreciate your optimism.
Sure.
Call Joe in North Little Rock and try to cheer him up. Barrett.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, it's not great, but it's better. It's not crackling, at least. It just sounds like you're in a tin can. Are you in a tin can?
Oh,
that is so good right there.
There he is.
It's as though you're sitting in the studio all of a sudden.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, that's
what if I am? That's like some Inception-level stuff right now.
That is going to freak me out. I got to be honest. That is really going to really freak me out. So for those who missed it, Nick Saban compared the safety issue in football and this 10-second rule to smoking one cigarette versus 20. I mean, that's a pretty good analogy, or pretty good summation, I think, of his stupid analogy, and it makes no sense at all. These guys are getting desperate, and the thing is, again, much like Coach Bielema we talked about a couple weeks ago, they are arguing a bad position, and when you argue in a bad position, all you do is come up with stupid reasons why you're right. It's really sad.
It's exactly what's going on, too. I mean, keep in mind, Nick Saban is the same guy who, the only coach who wants a ninth conference game in the toughest, most physical conference in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the hypocrisy is just dripping with that comment, but you're right. They're trying any way possible to justify this ruling, and it's only making matters worse. You know, and I thought Nick Saban did a reasonably good job a couple of days ago, sort of distancing himself from the rule itself. Then all of a sudden, he does a 180 and goes full Bielema. It's like, dude. you know,
that's cruel.
You can't do that. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, and the thing that really bought that, you know, if they can just admit that they're being selfish, I'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
I mean, they are. I mean, everyone knows that. And Saban actually sort of went down that road a couple days ago to sort of admit it. And that was, like, awesome. He's finally realizing that it's, you know, a little selfish. And then to come back and defend this rule is just, it's silly. And the thing that really bothers me about it is they keep saying that there are, you know, both sides keep saying there are no studies. Well, there is a study. College Football Matrix did a study,
yeah,
and the report clearly states, in no uncertain terms, through a lot of different ways, that bigger players in tighter spaces have more injury risk.
Right.
So there are studies out there, and they show that Bielema and Saban are putting their players at more risk. And so
the whole thing is just so ridiculous.
Yes, let me paraphrase that. Faster teams are more safer. So, in fact, they're the safest that there is.
They are. They're the safe. And also about this, I mean, really.
There goes your phone again. There you go.
What Bielema and Saban are really arguing is against football. That's it. They're arguing against baseball, against the safety of football.
Did you see the video from Rich Rodriguez? I assume you did.
I did. His diabolical laugh at the end is just fantastic.
Yeah, the video, if you haven't seen it, I tweeted it out yesterday. You can find it on most sites if you look for Rich Rodriguez speed video or Arizona parody video, or Rich Rodriguez makes fun of Nick Saban, Brett Bielema, and everybody else who shares this nonsensical position on the speed of the game. I think any of those Google searches will get you the results you want. It is a great, great video. I had forgotten that Keanu Reeves asked Sandra Bullock about her Arizona shirt while they were doing
brilliant.
The movie. Yeah, it was great. Great, great deal. Which, by the way, at the time, Arizona did not have a great football team. So,
well, you know.
That was lost on Johnny Utah, though.
Right. That's true. Asking for Keanu Reeves to be, you know, knowledgeable about anything is asking a lot. Although, you know, there is a Point Break remake coming out, which is just a travesty and a sham and mockery because no one should ever remake Point Break because nothing can compare to the original.
Not unless
it's one of the greatest movies of all time.
I couldn't agree more. If Bodie was still alive, it would be fine, but it would have been great to see him surfing and running afoul of the law, or maybe helping the FBI. He could come back and help the FBI catch other diabolical surfers who are out doing no good. So
right, and there are about three or four more president's masks that they can use, too. So the ex-presidents could certainly expand their role a little bit, but then, you know.
They should have gotten a little more obscure and used, like, Taft and Tyler and a bunch of faces that nobody would have recognized. That would have been fun.
Harrison robbing a bank. Like, what?
He's too fat to surf. So, okay, we got that part. And the vote, if I understand this right, and I've seen so many different things about this, nobody seems to be clear-cut. Is the decision being made tomorrow? Is that correct?
Yeah, the NCAA Playing Rules Oversight Panel, which is a different group than the one that created the rule to begin with, is meeting tomorrow. They had a chance to withdraw it on March 3rd if they received X amount of, you know, calls, votes, emails from people complaining. I guess they just didn't get enough or just wanted to meet themselves to discuss it. So it's going to happen tomorrow. It's, I mean, there's no chance it passes. I mean, there's absolutely no chance. I mean, the thing about it is, you know, Brett Bielema talked about the death certificate thing, but Saban even said himself 2 days ago that, you know, there's no scientific evidence that says that players are at more risk in those schemes, and that's the only way you can pass rules during this year anyway. So there's just no way that it's going to pass. But, you know, I think ultimately what they're lobbying for, there's still going to be a fight. They're probably going to implement some sort of, you know, measure to limit the impact of hurry-up offenses. And if that's the NFL clock where they, you know, don't stop the clock at your first down and it's sort of a running clock and they have a two-minute warning, then, you know, okay. I mean, that's okay. I think TV networks would certainly like that too, because there's more structure in how they can get commercials in. So, you know, to me, there's still going to be a fight, but this, you know, stupid 10-second rule, which in reality isn't going to help anything anyway, because no one snaps the ball in 10 seconds to begin with, there's no chance, because the way it was conceived, the way it was, you know, attempted to be implemented by Saban and Bielema, Troy Calhoun, seems shady, and no coach in America, old school or new school, is going to really want, you know, the game, the way they coach games dictated to them, because if you're down 2 scores 4 minutes to go, you need to hurry up. And you know, that's true no matter what kind of scheme you run.
Barrett Salia, BleacherReport.com, not joining us from a submarine in the North Atlantic, although it does sound that way today. The spring football getting underway around the country this week. What are some things you're keeping your eye on as far as things that need to shake out in spring around the conference?
Well, a lot of quarterback battles. I want to see what happens at Texas A&M. You know, Kyle Allen, the true freshman kid, the early enrollee, Kenny Hill, the dual threat, and then Matt Jokel, the veteran. You know, all those guys have qualities that are, you know, kind of desirable. So where does Kevin Sumlin want to go? You know, I think that sort of is up to him, and how those guys sort of take hold of the offense this spring is going to be a big step. And, you know, other quarterback issues, obviously, at LSU is going to be a big battle. Florida, to see if Jeff Driscoll's healthy, is going to be, you know, interesting. Tennessee. And really, Alabama is going to be a quarterback battle that I think, you know, people talk about this spring. But really, that's not going to be a battle until this summer when Jacob Coker gets there. But, you know, who's going to be his primary competition? I think we'll figure that out this spring. I think it absolutely needs to be Cooper Bateman, if Cooper Bateman has any chance of actually playing again, because if it's not, it's probably David Cornwell, and he's going to have, you know, right now, you know, he's going to redshirt, so, you know, if he's going to play, then you don't want him to be the same age as Cooper Bateman. Cooper Bateman may, you know, be forced to transfer if he doesn't, you know, come out of spring smelling like a rose a little bit in Alabama.
From an Arkansas standpoint, what are the most important things that you'd like to see, or I guess if you're an Arkansas fan, that you'd want to see come out of spring?
Well, find a defense, any kind of defense, just one that is functional, because they didn't have that last year. And, you know, find a quarterback. You know, is Brandon Allen going to be the guy? Is it Ray Phoebe? What's the deal? You can't win in the SEC during what Arkansas did last year. You know, Alex Collins was great. Jonathan Williams was awesome, too. They were so one-dimensional. They were painfully one-dimensional last year. So you can't do that at Arkansas. They're going to have to find a way to spice things up offensively, because, you know, you can't rely on running the ball and playing defense if you don't have a defense. And Arkansas doesn't have one right now.
That is true. Barrett, I appreciate it. I have one more thing for you before we let you go. Just because something is offensively stupid doesn't mean it's not entertaining. Clearly, that is your position on The Bachelor. You have been live tweeting during the season. We have a few of our listeners who love you on the air but are trying to figure out your fascination with this show that my wife is also hooked on, and it literally makes me I'm not kidding. Literally makes me physically ill when I walk in the room and she is watching the show. It makes me sick. So, where did your fascination come in, and what's going on there?
Well, the first time I watched Bachelor, I was just sitting in the living room. It was on. My wife was watching it. The second time, and every time since then, it's been my decision. It's been my desire to watch it. It is America's greatest comedy. Everything about that show is just absolutely hilarious or depressing. But if it's depressing, that makes it even more funny. So it is just a phenomenal show in terms of 2 hours of entertainment. It's like watching a train wreck. You can't turn away. It's just fascinating, and there's nothing. It's one of those things where it's either good or it's really bad. But even when it's really bad, it's hilarious.
Well, I'll say this:
I can't stop watching it.
No self-respecting woman would ever put herself in that position to throw herself at a guy along with 49 other women out of the gate, especially when the guy is as non-desirable as this idiot that's on there this year. Second of all, I would say that the people that think it's entertaining, and I mean people that like it, not like it to make fun of it in a parody kind of way, that tells me how little respect a lot of Americans have for themselves in general, which is disturbing and sad in so many ways.
Yeah, no, it's true. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, the girls put themselves in this position, and right now, the two that are finalists, you know, that dude deserves crazy, and he's going to get crazy because that guy's terrible. I mean, he's awful.
Yeah.
And the two that he's going to end up with, the two finalists, they're not much better, so...
How do I know this? Because if you watch it for about 35 seconds, you can realize this guy's a scumbag. And even by Bachelor standards, he's a bad dude. So,
yes.
Anyway.
But the silver lining on top of the show, no matter what, is that you've got 30 girls that are acting really stupid to try to impress that guy, which sometimes includes them doing fun things that I laugh at, and that's fun.
Yeah.
That's entertainment. That's why I love the show. You know, people say, well, you turn in your man card. I'm like, no, dude, this is awesome. Girls acting desperate, that's funny.